talk shortly this morning. It's not going to be a long teaching. Good, says everybody. Woohoo! It's more something. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a journey that I've been on. Do you know those times when God speaks to you about something? And for me, when there are times when I kind of think something, and I feel a sense of God's blessing or encouragement on that thought. There are other times where somebody might say something and I'll think, oh, that's significant. I need to pray into that more. But then there are times when I just get this out of the blue. I'm not thinking about, you know, something in context, but out of the blue, God just speaks. So the Holy Spirit just puts something in there, and it's just soft and subtle, but yet so crystal clear. Do you know those times? Do you? Okay, good. So I had an experience like that back in May of 2009. I was driving my car, and I was going. It was an evening appointment with work. So I was thinking about work things, but I was driving, and all of a sudden I just got this sense from God, and it was just very short, Jeremiah 33. And straight away, see, I Jeremiah 33:3 is one of my favorite verses. 33 verse 3 says, "Call to me and ask of me, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." So I've held on to that verse for years, and I've prayed that verse, and I've, you know, Bono refers to that verse as God's phone number, and I've always liked that, you know, call to me and ask me, and I'll tell you. But I immediately, as I'm driving that night, you know, Jeremiah 33 comes, and immediately in my head, then I start thinking and I start praying verse 3. And like clear as a bell, just this interruption in my thoughts. And it was like, no, the whole chapter. And then the immediate next thought was, oh. I'm kind of looking, okay, God. And then as I went on to my meeting, I had this. There was just an excitement in me. There was this inquisitiveness, this curiosity. I kept thinking, God, what's in this? What's in this verse? And I normally have a Bible in my glove box, but I didn't have it that day. So by the time I got home, and I went and I got my Bible and I read this, it was just a time where, you know, my heart's just thumping, and I'm thinking, God, this is incredible. And I felt as I read it that I was to, that this was a prayer that I was to pray for Dublin in specifics and then for Ireland. So we're going to be looking at the verse. Now we're going to have it up, but if you have your Bibles, you might want to open to Jeremiah chapter 33. In the Red Bible, I think it starts on page 795. Because when God speaks a word, we have, well, this is the way I view it. We have a responsibility to pray into that word. We have a responsibility to pray through it, to try to investigate it. God, what are you saying to me? What are you trying to teach me? We have a responsibility to protect that word and to nurture that word. There's something about when we hear from God, and it's something that's significant, and it's something that is crystal clear and touches us deeply and motivates us, that requires a protection. It requires that we stop and sit down and say, now hang on, this is something that God's given. Because oftentimes I think what we can do is we can begin talking about it too quickly, or we can begin sharing it too quickly, and what happens then is you start getting other people's opinion, and it begins to steal the word that God has given. But if you protect it, and if you say, no, I'm going to guard this. God gave this to me, and it was clear, and it was, there were all the signs and symptoms of this being a word from God were clear to me that night. And so what I've done is I've tried to protect that and hold it, and I And I've spoken about it once or twice in a small group meeting. I've spoken about it with my wife, but I haven't shared it with anybody because this was something God gave me. And there's an element of, I'm very selfish about it, but there's also an element of, do you know, I don't want somebody else to try to influence the significance of that word for me. Does that make sense? A few months after that experience, I was walking with a friend, and again, another great guy, Rob Jones, you know him. We were talking, and he began to say some things that made me start to think, now hang on a second, you're talking about my promise. That's mine. And I asked him, I said, what's going on here? And he was kind of cautiously revealing to me that God had spoken to him about Jeremiah 33 a few months previous. And my jaw dropped, and I looked at him and I said, when was that? And he said, well, it was a few months ago, it's kind of the end of May. And I'm looking, the end of May 2008, you know, and this was in August of 2009, just before he'd gone on holidays. And we sat there, and I told him my story, and he's like, whoa. And we happened to be going for a walk on a beach, and we began to just walk and pray. And the two of us just prayed for Dublin, we prayed for Ireland, and we prayed for revival, and we prayed these promises out of Jeremiah 33. But I've never shared that with anybody else. And we began to just, it's in my journal, I've prayed this, I've nurtured this, I've talked a lot. But then, a few weeks ago, I was at Robin Dillis, the launch of their church over Easter weekend, and the conference that they held on the Friday and the Saturday was called Rubicon. And on the Friday night, they had invited a few different people in to speak. Now, this is going somewhere. But on the Friday night, they had invited Alan Scott down to speak. And Alan Scott is the pastor of the Antrim Vineyard. And in his talk, what he was talking about was how they have really tried for their church to be a church that impacts the city. And rather than being pastors and trying to grow a church, they're trying to grow a city through bringing the culture of the kingdom and kingdom values into what happens in the city of Coleraine is where they are. And he did something that I just, my jaw dropped. He talked about how God had given him a passage to read and to pray and to study and to pray into his city of Coleraine. And where did he read from? Jeremiah 33. And I just looked at him and I just sat at the back because I'd come in late, and I just sat at the back and I thought, God, what are you doing? And what that said to me, the first time is for me. The second time with Rob, I realized, okay, this is something that God is speaking to a few people. But when I heard it 2 years later from somebody else, I thought, okay, this is for everybody now. This is not just for me. So what I want to do this morning is just share with you some of my prayers, some of my thoughts, some of the things that God has been showing me as I've been stirring over this prayer this passage for the last 2 years, and the prayers that I've prayed, because now it was for me, but now it's for you. So I'm going to share with you the secret that God gave me. Is that okay? So protect it well. So if you read with me I'm just going to start in verse 6, because we've already kind of talked about verse 3. Now thank you, Sarah. We have it up there. Now what's up there is slightly different than what you might read in your Bible, because I've changed some of the words. But where it refers to the city, I've put in Dublin, or where it refers to Israel or Judea, I've put in Ireland, okay? But in verse 6, he says, I will bring health and healing to Dublin. I will heal the people, and they will enjoy abundance of prosperity and security. I will restore the fortunes of Dublin and the fortunes of Ireland and rebuild them as they once were. Incredible promise. Verses 1 and 2 of Jeremiah go through and they say, this is what the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. And then it refers, just in case you don't know who the Lord is, the Lord, the one who created all things, the God who is God Almighty, the Lord. So just in case we're confused where this is coming from, this is from God. This is God's promise. Now, prophetic scriptures such as Jeremiah was a prophet, so he was writing to Israel and Judea for a specific time, but it was also a prophetic word for the church. So this was meant for Israel in a particular time that they were in, that they were going through, where Babylon was coming and the kings of Babylonia were going to come and take away lots of people. Jeremiah was prophesying this, but this is a prophetic promise that is for today as well. And we see that a little bit later when we go through the chapter. I'm not going to talk about health and healing. You guys have heard me talk about that way lots. But this is a promise from God for health and for healing. And I don't think it's just physical at all. I think it's emotional, it's mental, it's relational, it's spiritual. The healing that comes, the wholeness that comes from a relationship with God. And it's abundance of prosperity and security. It's not just the flitting Celtic tiger era that's long gone now. And it's not just for the rich to get richer, as we're still seeing if you read the newspapers this morning. It's not just for the Dennis O'Briens and all of the big investors. There's a prosperity and there's a security that comes for the whole nation, for every single person, because it's all part of God's shalom. It's part of his promises, and it's his promise that he will restore the fortunes. Now, I'm very aware, especially for those of you who don't know me very well, you hear this Indiana accent coming out, and I'm very aware that Americans, those silly Americans, they have this way of doing this thing that the Irish look at and go, oh, that's so twee. No, don't do that. But we Americans, we tend to kind of romanticize all of this, kind of this Celtic stuff. And I'm very cautious, I'm very aware of that. And I've been here now 15 and a half years, and I'm married to a fantastic Irish girl, and we have 4 fantastic kids. And as the saying goes, you know, when you go on the tours, over the years and through the ages, they came and they integrated and they became more Irish than the Irish themselves. That's always been a refrain that I've held on to in the back of my head. Guys at work said to me, you have 4 kids? 4? But anyway, so I'm aware of this kind of, this false romanticized thing, and I'm not trying to do that. But there is something that back in 1994 and 1995, God spoke to me very clearly, and he said to me in lots of different ways, and it was confirmed in lots of different ways, Ireland. He put a call in me when I had no relation, I had nothing to steer me, nothing to influence me, just God said, Ireland. And after I'd been here for a year and a half and I'd been questioning, I was in a Vineyard conference, and John Wimber called me out of the crowd, and he called me over to him, and he stood in front of me, and he repeated over me, Ireland. Ireland. And he shouted it 3 times, and I'm sitting here shaking. John Wimber? But it was such a reassurance that God has put something here that I can't get away from. And there have been times we've thought, will we leave? Will we go? Will we go back to America? But no. I can't. God's put something here. So forgive any of this if this sounds like this kind of romantic American thing, because that's not. I have my green passport. I'm Irish. I don't sound it, but I'll get there. My name is Sean. Sean Michael. Sean Michael Copeland. So verse 8, I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive their sins of rebellion against me. Again, just a promise of God. And this is just who he is. He's so gracious and he's just so merciful. And the ways that we have turned against God, God will cleanse that and he'll forgive that. But also, if we can think about it, so much of the rebellion that has come from us as a nation has come from abuse and misuse and people who in the name of religion have brought harm and have caused people to turn away from the goodness of God, caused people to not know the goodness of God. So again, that we have to turn the tide. We have to say, look, as a church, as people who call on his name, what message can we give? How can we take the anger and respond with grace and mercy and love? And how can we take the arrogance and the rebellion and turn it around? How do we fight against that spirit of religion that has captured people and the political spirit that has captured people? And how do we take that orphan spirit that has so taken people away from the fatherhood of God? And how do we show people the spiritual mothers and fathers? How do we do that? Because when we do, in verse 9, then Dublin will bring me renown, will bring me fame and joy, praise and honor before all the nations of the earth that hear of all the good that I will do for it, for that city, for Dublin. The other nations will be in awe and tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for Dublin. Did you hear that? They will be in awe and they will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace that I provide for Dublin. See, to be a nation that brings God renown and fame and honor, wouldn't that be something? For God to look at his angels and say, and hold up a trophy and say, look, do you see this? Do you see this nation? Do you see this group of people who were standing for me and for the truth of my word and my son and the work that my son carried out? Other nations will be in awe and tremble because, you know, in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, you go and make disciples of who? All people? Maybe. But he says, make disciple of all nations. Well, how do you make disciples of nations? How do you do that? Well, first, the nation has to be in a place of influence. Because if nations are going to come to us for what we've got, well, we as a nation need to stand united. We need to stand as one. And we need to stand and say, we have something to offer. And then the nations will come. The queen of Egypt, the queen of Sheba, she didn't come to Solomon because he had nothing to offer. She came because he had something to offer. And she looked, and what does the phrase say? Even the way the table was set for dinner amazed her. Like, come on! Like, what do we have to offer? Really, what do we have? Because they will be in awe and they will tremble. And in the towns of Ireland and the streets of Dublin, there will be heard the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bride and the bridegroom. So can you imagine in the towns and in the streets, there is joy and gladness. What do you hear now? You pass by people on the street and they look away. There's silence. There's rejection. You might get a, how are you? How's it going? You might. But mostly, it's silence. Often, it's anger. I took the kids to the. We were at Castletown House the other day, and we're walking out of the driveway, and there's a car, big Lexus, and you know it's driving a little bit too fast for entering a car park. And here's four kids walking out, and here's this car. So you know, I give the guy a bit of a come on, and the look that I got back. You know, this anger, it's not even below the surface. Sometimes it's just right there. So there's silence or there's intimidation or there's anger. How do we respond to that? How do we come against that? But the scripture says there will be joy and gladness heard in the streets. And it will be the voice of the bride. Who's the bride? Who's the bride? The church. We are. We are the bride. The voices of the bride. And who's the bridegroom? Jesus. Jesus is the bridegroom. The voices of the bride and the bridegroom will be heard. How does the bridegroom's voice get heard in the streets? As we proclaim it. As we proclaim his word in his street, in the streets of Dublin and in the streets of the towns and the villages of Ireland. Then his voice will be heard. How do we come against the anger? With joy and with gladness, with love and with mercy and compassion. And the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, For he is, he's good. He's good. He's good. And his love endures forever. Because he's good. And his love endures forever. Can we have that as a refrain? When people say, they just use, oh my God. He's good, isn't he? He's good, isn't he? And the looks that I get back when I say this. It's great. He's good, isn't he? What? And down in verse 12. There will once again be pastures for the shepherds to rest their flocks. And the flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them. My wife says to me, isn't that lovely? Isn't that just lovely? That the flocks will pass under the hand of the one who counts them. It's not just one, two, three. But Psalms 139 says he knows us by name. That even the very hairs of our head are numbered. And other places in the psalm, it says that we are the apple of his eye. Scripture says that he longs for us, that he hungers for us, that he is very jealous for us. And that once again, in Dublin and in Ireland, there will be pastures where the flocks can rest. And where the flocks will pass under the hands of those who will count them. And in verse 17, it says that David and the priests and the Levites will never fail to have someone stand before me. They will never fail. And in fact, those who stand in the Levitical line or the priestly line, in the Davidic line, those will outnumber the stars of the sky and the sands and the seashore. And this, friends, this is one of the promises that you can know that this prophetic chapter was not just written for Jeremiah's time. Because that phrase there is tying back, think back to Abraham and the promise that God gave to Abraham. You will have a son. And your descendants will outnumber the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. So if that promise that God gave to Abraham is now being repeated for the time of Jeremiah, when just before they're going to be carried off into captivity, but God reminds them of the promise that he gave in that time. So Jeremiah speaks it now and says, look, folks, don't worry. We may be carried off, but God has given us a promise. And so even now we can look and do all of those who stand with us in the line of David, do all of those who stand with us in the line of the Levites, do all of those who stand with us as priests in the kingdom, do we yet outnumber the stars in the sky or the sands on the sea? I think not. But there is a day coming when we will. There's a day coming when we will, because that's a promise from the scripture. So for us, some of you might hear this and you might think, oh, this is a promise that's so big. And it is. It is. Some of you might stand here and you might be thinking, okay, God, how do I take what you have put in me and how do I work it out through in Dublin? In Cork, in Galway, in Belfast, and all the towns in between, Waterford, Kilkenny, Athlone, Portlaoise. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we go into the Midlands? How do we go to the south? How do we go to the north? How do we go through the bogs and up into the mountains? How do we do that? Because God has given us a promise. God has put an inheritance in this nation. He's put a heritage in this nation. And in a minute, we're going to pray through this. I'm going to invite you to pray with me for this nation. Will we just do that now? Will I just stop talking and will we just go to the prayer? Is that okay? If we can do this. This, I'm asking you to pray. This has been prayers that I've prayed over the last 2 years. What I'm going to ask us to do is, will we read this together? And I know that you're reading it for the first time, but I'm going to ask you to read it as a prayer. Okay? So it might take us a second to get our rhythm. And it's a few slides long, so I apologize in advance for the length. But what I've tried to do is I've taken those passages that I've just shared and I've put prayers to them. So some of them kind of meander a little bit, but I've tried to edit it just to keep it short. So it's about six slides long, and that's short for me. So, okay? Okay. So let's just read it together. God, we thank you for creating the nation of Ireland. We bless you for the characteristics you have given us as a people. We thank you for giving us the gifts of creativity and musicianship, literature and lyrics, drama and theater, craftsmanship and artistry, inventiveness and entrepreneurism. We thank you for making us a people who work for justice, who are quick to give generously, eager to show compassion, and stand up for those who are unfairly treated. We thank you for giving us an ability to laugh and not to take ourselves too seriously. And we embrace these as a reflection of your nature. We thank you for the heritage we receive from our Irish ancestors. Columba, Colum Keel, Kevin, Brendan, Bridget, Aidan, Patrick, and others in more recent history. We ask that you give us passion to change the course of history through the spreading of your gospel the way these people did. We thank you for the faithfulness of those who paved the way for us to walk in the freedom of your spirit, and we commit ourselves to carrying your truth to the generations that come after us. We ask for you to overwhelm us with prosperity and security. We ask for inventions that create new industries and new jobs. We ask for wisdom for the government, integrity for commercial leaders, stewardship from the financial institutions, legislation that honors the population, and solutions that offer hope to those in difficulty. We pray for a society that is shaped by the culture of the kingdom of God. We thank you for bringing health and healing to Dublin and all the cities of Ireland. We ask for a corporate anointing on this church and this land, that this nation would be a beacon of supernatural ministry so all those across Europe who are afflicted in body, mind, or spirit would come to experience your presence and receive wholeness and healing. We prophetically call forth those who will pastor, nurture, lead, and mentor. We ask that you raise up spiritual mothers and fathers who will equip and mentor a generation of revivalists. We pray that Ireland would have a united church operating under your apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, and that we would pursue your mandate to make disciples of all nations. We ask for an expansion of the dreams you've put in our hearts, and we ask for courage to pursue them. We believe that you are a good Father and that you have given us every good thing. We receive your promise that we will be filled with the whole measure of the fullness of God. We invite you to speak through us your words of compassion, truth, and love. We invite you to demonstrate through us your miracles, mercy, and faith. We invite you to live through us your grace, generosity, and hope. We offer ourselves to you fully and completely and pray that this city and this nation will be a dwelling place for your tangible, manifest presence. And we declare that in the streets of this nation, the voices of your bride will say, God is good, and his love endures forever. Amen. God, for any place where our words are short, where our words fall short of your plans and your desires. God, we ask that you give us your words, that we might speak and declare your heart. Father, we understand, God, that all things happen after there's a declaration. So God, give us the courage to seek your heart and to declare your words. To declare that this nation of Ireland belongs to you. It doesn't belong to the banks. It doesn't belong to the doll. It doesn't belong to any individual or group. It belongs to you.
Amen.
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 Now, in that mode of worship and prophetic prayer, we're going to ask Garth to come and to lead us in communion. And I would just ask that as we do this, that you continue to nurture not just that prayer. It's for all of us now. So take it. Work it through, figure it out, investigate it, protect it, nurture it, but see what God would add for you in that, and then come back and share it with us.